Yeah, so we're here. It's 4 o'clock. As we mentioned at the top of the show, we're going to be speaking to a gentleman by the name of Matt LaFan, who is a local resident. He partakes in the rather bizarre sport, some would say crazy sport, of triathlon and ultra triathlon as well. Now, we're going to speak a little bit about that. If you don't know anything about triathlons, keep your ears pinned back for the next 15 or 20 minutes and we'll do as much service as we can to the multidiscipline sport as we can. So, Matt, good afternoon and welcome to Phoenix FM.
Hi, thanks for having me.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you, yeah.
Good. In terms of triathlon itself, how did you get into the sport?
I was a rugby player and it got to the point where I was playing for a week, getting injured, having 6 weeks out, and playing another game, then have another 6 weeks out. So it came to the point where I was like, not really able to do this anymore. So I went back to running, which I used to do when I was younger, and almost fell into it, really. Was looking for a new challenge, and was on a group, an online group with some people, and a couple of them started looking at these triathlons. I thought, hey, that looks a bit of fun. And it just went from there, really.
Good. And what sort of attracted you to the sport, first of all?
I like looking for a challenge that's going to push me a little bit outside of my comfort. It's looking at it and going, oh, I'm not sure I'm going to complete that. It looks hard. The varied courses. There's been a saying in triathlon for years. We're not good at one sport. If you can't be good at one sport, we might as well not be good at three. So. Yeah, the mix of swim, sometimes they're in pool, sometimes they're in open water, in sort of inland lakes, sometimes they're in the sea. The bike course can be flat and hard, it'd be uphill, it's always changing. The runs are, again, at the end, is the bit which was your strong part becomes your sort of your weakest almost, because you've done it after doing X number of miles on either the bike or the swim first of all.
Now, for those that haven't followed or struggled to follow triathlon, does it get featured very much on the mainstream sports channels. Just explain to the listeners what is a triathlon and what are the varying lengths of disciplines that are there.
I mean they start from your sort of sprints, which will be a 400 meter swim, a 10k bike and a 5k run. Then you go to your sort of middle distance, where you could be a 1500 meter swim, a 40 kilometre bike and a 10k run, right the way through to the Iron Distance, or the Iron Man as they're sort of known to people, which would be a 2.4 mile swim, a 112 mile bike and then a 26 mile marathon to finish off the run.
Yeah, they've already mentioned those. The swim itself could be in a number of different locations, indoors and outdoor swims.
Yeah, you do. I mean, you mainly get the shorter distance ones. The sprints are quite often pool based. You get very good beginner ones in leisure centres, where you'll be starting the pool and then out the door and grab your bike from being racked outside. Most of the, as I said, once they get bigger, you start looking further afield, and you get the rivers and lakes get used quite a lot. Places like Nottingham, they've got the National Rowing Centre that gets used there, right the way through to sort of your dad in Wales. You get Tenby in the bay there. They swim in the sea there. Again, you've got a little bit of variety, a little bit of something to push you outside of your comfort zone there.
And how do you approach your particular training? Obviously, cause there's three events, isn't there? So it uses, I appreciate, different parts of your body for different lengths of time. How would you approach training for such an event?
It goes in three stages. First of all, you're doing your base training. You're probably looking about 30 weeks out. You're starting to build a slow training, where you're trying to build a good base level of fitness. Then you're into the build stage, which would be your set, your middle sort of 10 weeks. That's when you're starting to build the distance up, and you're looking at longer swims, longer rides, longer runs. Again, trying to keep the effort level low. So it's become quite technical over the years with power meters and heart rate monitors and things like that. And then the final one is your sort of your finishing stage. That's where you're looking to put your speed in and finalising your race plan. There's three disciplines, but it's still also things like you've got to think about what you're going to eat when you're out there on an Ironman triathlon, you could be out there for, you know, you've got 17 hours to complete it, so you need to be thinking what we're going to be eating during the day, what I'm going to be drinking.
Now, we're not talking about a three-course meal. We're talking about energy gels, well, bars or fruits.
Yeah,
or...
I mean, you know, it's fine if you're a pro, you can survive on energy gels and bars, but some more of, you know, I find that, you know, once I get to 13, 14 hours, what I really crave is something salted, bit some pork scratchings or, you know, something like that. You start looking for crisps and sandwiches and things like that. You need to, it's not quite a full, you know, a full spread yet, but you do see some interesting food options on the bike. There'll be people with almost a whole tin of Pringles on the bars there, having a good feed. And it needs to be regular. You can't wait until you've sort of dehydrated or run out. You've got to be thinking every 20 minutes, I've got to have something to eat, I've got to have something to drink through the whole time.
Just in terms, I think, of the participation levels, obviously you've been involved in that event for a long time, so your exposure perhaps has been more so than the average sort of sports follower. Have you seen a sort of gradual increase in the amount of people taking part in these events?
Yeah, I think certainly since, again, it's the follow-on from sort of the 2012 Olympics, you know, the names like Alistair Brownlee and Johnny Brownlee are virtually household now. People know them and people see them. You catch them on BBC from time to time. Some of the longer distance ones, people like Chrissy Wellington, who was she was like a three or four time world champion at the Iron Distance races. And we've got some very good up and coming young triathletes in this country. And it's certainly seen an increase in the last 10 years. It's a weird sport because I think a lot of people coming into it later, again, because they sort of do the team sports in their early 20s and they sort of come back to it later. They're one of the most competitive and busiest age group is for males between 40 and 50. It just suddenly becomes a very big thing. My recent race, there was nearly 200 racing in that category.
Well, you'll come on to that in a moment. But I think also we're looking in terms of various pathways. There is quite a big sort of Paralympic route into triathlon as well. I think the two sort of British sides are world leaders, I suppose.
You quite often you get what's called an age group representation. It's one of the few sports that you can actually, as an amateur, you can represent your country abroad, and you hit a qualifying standard, and you can go and again, both the para tri and the British tri were very closely together. And in a weekend, you'd have 6-7 races taking place, and they'll be for all standards and ability for people that have qualified who are calling themselves, you know, Great Britain athletes for the weekend.
So how would you sort of encourage people that enjoy riding, enjoy swimming or enjoy running as an individual sport, what additional benefits would you sort of see someone that think, oh, I might give that a go, and what sort of advice would you give to people thinking about making that
if you're thinking of it, look up for your local club. There's most clubs now run something called Tri about once a year. You'll get them right set up, you'll be able to come along, and in a very relaxed atmosphere, you'll be able to have a go at swimming, jumping out the water, straight onto the bike, because it's not, you don't sit there for 10 minutes getting changed and drying yourself off. You're jumping on that bike, you're getting going, and once for the bike, you're not coming in sitting down and going, well, that was quite good. You're again handing your bike off and you're straight on with your trainers and straight out. So it's it doesn't have to take up all day. You know, the short ones can take between half hour and 40 minutes to complete. And it gives you that variety to make you, you know, if you're good on the bike, see how good you are at running after you've been on the bike for a while, because your legs are certainly letting you know about it.
Yeah, I suppose a fair number of people, myself included, a little bit scared by the fact of swimming in open water, so come to currents, and we've all seen, those that have seen the Olympic versions, they're quite a hectic start and an intimidating place to be for someone that isn't used to swimming in outdoor swims. What would you sort of say to people in that position?
Again, mass starts. I mean, you see it, and if you're going to put, you know, upwards of 1,500 people into the water, it's about sort of knowing your own ability and thinking, right, okay, I've got a while to get in there. You know, let those people go off. Take your time. You can swim slightly wider. I mean, some of the smaller events, you have staggered starts, so there'll be two or three of you going into the water at the same time. Some of the pool starts are every 30 seconds, so you've got that time to do it. I mean, the water conditions are, you know, the water quality is checked, and you've got lifeguards in yeah. canoes and stuff, and you're wearing a wetsuit. All the outside stuff is nearly always wetsuit compulsory, which gives you that bit of buoyancy that yeah. if you do, you know, you do have it. And we've all been hit by it. We've got, you know, you've got a bit too close to someone, you've got a nudge or something. You just sit to the side, take a second, and then back into yeah. it. So it's just a little bit of mind over matter, but, you know, there's as many things in place to make it as safe as possible.
But also, I think important, you must experience it, the camaraderie as well. Once you're in that water or you're on the bike and you're on the run, that sense of helping
yeah.
those that you see that are not perhaps enjoying it
yeah.
or that are struggling, is that evident?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're riding along and you're constantly, you know, you've got a number on your back, usually with your name as well, so you get someone come past and like, come on, mate, you know, we can get up this hill. And on the run, the hot, you know, you quite often the routes are what we call out and back, so you'll go out to a point, turn around and come back. So you'll be seeing athletes, you know, running in opposite directions to each other, and the high fives and a little bit of a, gives you a little boost, and you see the bloke in front, you think, can I catch him by that next lamp post? Or, you know, who's behind me and the rest of it? So, you know, it gives you're constantly, with the crowds as well, you get some very, very big crowds at some of these races, which are, again, cheering you all on and giving you the motivation to finish.
Yes. And an excuse to perhaps eat a bit above what you would normally consume in a day as well. Post-race as well,
I
imagine.
Yeah, I've had this long-standing theory that the teeth of long-distance athletes, a study should be done, because the amount of sugar that I think we consume, it's probably the only race you could potentially put weight on during some of them. But, eating during your sort of peak training period, you're able to pretty much eat what you like, because you're probably burning off between 3,000 and 5,000 calories every day.
Okay. In terms of your personal achievements, what events or what races have stood out for you over the last few years as your best?
As
and also,
best.
I think your worst as well. Let's look at your worst. What has been bad for you personally on some of your events?
I took part in a race last year, an event called The Brutal down in Snowdonia in Wales. This was my attempt at a double Ironman, so it was a 4.8-mile swim, 230-mile on the bike, and then a 52-mile run. If you've ever been down to sort of, you know, around Lambaris and Snowdonia, the weather there can change on
a dime. We're not talking the Bahamas, are we?
No, no.
Quite desolate, windy.
It can be the rain and the cold. It can just change so quickly. It's an absolutely beautiful place. And, you know, I got through the swim, and I was 188 miles into the bike when the weather just... It changed us, and I've never ever been so cold. And it was a decision was made shortly to withdraw me from the race. And I'd say, for someone that quite often achieves what he wants, when I set out to get my goal, it was a new experience of not finishing a race. However, I will be going back in September this year to try and change that. In terms of you know, achievements, every race get you walk away with some achievement at some point. You either say, yeah, you know, the swim went absolutely spot on, the bike went well there, I really sort of nailed that. I recently finished Ironman Lanzarote. I came off that, and it was just a day where my race plan worked. I took an hour and 3 minutes off my course PB, having tried that race twice before. I finished in 14 hours and 38 minutes, and I was absolutely over the moon with that result. It just, everything on the day worked for me. You know, it doesn't always. You know, you can have mechanicals on the bike. Yeah. You can have problems with you. You know, if you swallow too much seawater to start with, that can play havoc with you in your stomach during the race. Blisters, the heat, the weather. There's so many things that can cause you issues that when it came off, and that really was my day. I was lucky that day, and it you know, it's such an amazing feeling when you cross that line. You're like, yep, yeah, I'm proud of that.
Okay. We'll break for a quick song, and then we'll come back with a little bit more chat. Back here talking all things triathlon with a local triathlete, Matt LaFerre. So Matt, welcome back. Thanks for staying with us this afternoon. Just wanted to talk, we finished off a little bit about obviously what's good from events that you've done. Just in terms of obviously the impact that has on your general day-to-day life, how do you manage both of those?
It's a case of making it work. I'm lucky enough to live sort of within 15 miles of where I work, so I take that as a chance to ride in and ride home. Gives you 30 miles there. Again, you when you start training for this, they may be summer events, but you're going to be training over the winter, so you've got to have the option to stick your bike on what we call turbo trains, where the rear wheel gets on a flywheel, and you can spend many a dark hour sat in your cave in your cabin or your shed for 2 to 3 hours whilst watching a film to try and get you through it. Again, it's those almost those sacrifices. The open water swim training I do is 6 o'clock on a Saturday morning, when there's the option of a nice beer on a Friday night or going to bed and getting up a bit early. You will have to make those few sacrifices, but it's worth it because come race day you're gonna you know think I'm glad I did that session on that Friday rather than had a few too many drinks.
So who did you race for, a particular group or by yourself?
Yeah, I'm a member of Haven Tri, which is the sort of the local club to us. They've got close to 120 members. Fantastic support network there. They've got level one and two tri coaches. We have run sessions, bike sessions, swim sessions, fully qualified coaches leading each one, always giving you little bits of tips because, again, I've done this for nearly 10 years, but there's still things that you're learning and there's still things that you find that improve your game. People say, you know, the coach will watch you running and they'll go, oh, have you thought about, you know, lifting your foot a bit higher on the back or driving your knee forward? And it just improves your run that little bit each time. And
because over those sort of distances, those little tweaks will make a difference to, I suppose, injury prevention, as well as your sort of performance.
It's fine tuning. It's just like when with a Formula One team, there's people that are looking at all the finer little bits to make sure that car's running correct. It's the same as you in a race. They'll be looking at going, right, your swim form, you need to bring your arm higher when you're reaching over, or you're crossing your arms there, you're losing a little bit there. And there's people that have done things, and they've done different races, they've done races you might be looking at, they'll say, oh, right, this is what you want to wear for this is what you want to be thinking about, you know, making sure that you've got this bit of kit with you, and you're like, didn't think about that. Yeah. So it's using the experience, and it's the social side of it's fantastic as well.
I suppose the sort of the improvements in mapping and tracking your performance when you're out, you can see where you went particularly fast or particularly slow.
Yeah.
But does that give a competitive edge to your training as well when you're out?
It does. You can. My long-suffering wife now thinks that, you know, when I say I'm going out for an hour's ride, an hour ride means half an hour getting everything ready, an hour's ride, and then I'll sit there and you sit there and analyse the race. You're using, you know, things like Strava and Map My Run and stuff like that. And people, you can sit there, you can look at where you were working hard. And as I said, with all this technology, like power meters on the bike, you can see this, you know, how much effort you've put in, heart rate monitors. You can see cadence sensors and see how quickly you're turning the pedals. There's more information than you know. Years ago, this would have been the stuff that only sort of Team Sky and cycling would have had access to. Now it's available to everybody to sit there and have a look at.
Stripping that all the way, the basics are you need a wetsuit or a pair of swimming shorts, you need a bike, you need a decent pair of trainers.
Yeah, to start off, it could be as cheap as you like. It doesn't matter what bike you use. I've seen people in the London Tri using Bromptons, folding bikes. I've seen step throws. I've seen BMXs. I've seen people hire a Boris bike to take part in the London Triathlon. You know, it's again, have a look. If you're interested, have a look. If it's a pool swim, you're not going to need the wetsuit. That's only when you're going to open water. Yeah. You know, the bike, yeah, that's a fairly major piece of kit, but you can spend anything from sort of £100 at Halfords right the way through to £10,000 if you want on the bike. It's all about the engine and what your legs can do to make it go. And then a pair of trainers. There's not much other specialist kit needed. However, when you really get into it and then you're getting the aero helmets and the drag resistance suits and the rest of it, you can spend as much as you want on it.
And just in terms of the sort of races that you take part in, is it quite a packed domestic calendar that people can sort of just rock up to and organise and get into, as well as I suppose, more of a perceived international scope.
Again,
as well.
You know, on any given weekend, you can probably find 15, 20 races from start-up tries right the way through to, again, your iron distance triathlons. The main outdoor season sort of starts around, you know, we're at the front of the season now, sort of June time to late September. During winters, we quite often drop the swim out and you go for the duathlons, which is, you know, you run, then you bike, then you run. So it gives you an option there. Some people just switch straight to just a normal running sort of session and look at long distance marathons. The good thing about it is they cross over there. And nowadays you see more and more sportives, which is you're going out on the bike, you've got a 100-mile route through some fantastic places. You get swimming races like the Dart 10, so 10 kilometres along the Dartford River, Thames Marathon Swim, which is 14 kilometres. There's lots and lots of options for people.
And in terms of, you say, bike routes, we're quite blessed here, I suppose. It depends on the race you're preparing for, but it's fairly flat.
Yeah,
around this part of the world, isn't it?
It is. You can struggle to find a hill. There are a couple. You head towards sort of Basildon, and you've got South Church and Old Church, a hill there, which get the heart rate up. You've got, you know, going up towards Worley from the entry at Brentwood there. You've got some climbs there and Wiggly Bush going up there. It's in different one, but yeah, certainly Essex isn't blessed with it. But what we do have is lots of rolling good lanes, and you can get your head down and get some good speed along those, and miles and miles of areas to sort of discover and find some fantastic places. And the amount of times you ride through and you go, oh, that pub looked nice, I must remember to go back there for a lunch. And you, about 10 minutes later, you go, oh no, that little village looks really nice, where are we now? And there's nothing better than just getting lost in the lanes of Essex. Okay. I think
obviously you brought your two young daughters in as well this afternoon. I don't know if they want to say anything on air, anything at all, but do they get involved in your training, or do they sort of want to emulate what you're doing, either multidisciplined or one of the three that you're involved in?
My oldest, Madison, she's been doing park run now for about 4 years with me. She loves to come down there. She's got aspirations of once she's 18, which is the standard age of entering an adult one. They do children's tries, and again, she's just they're normally between sort of eight to 11 and 11 to 16 sort of age groups. She loves the loves the running side of it. The swimming's there. She's already written the Christmas list because she wants a new bike, one with gears. So the other one. Less so, shall we say, about the sporting side of it. She's more the my little computer game wizard, but she does like to come along and support, because that's the other thing is when you do these long events, is it's just as hard supporting on the family. They're there for, you know, potentially again with the iron distance races, they can be out there for 16, 17 hours as well. So it is a family sport. You do need some support, and it's a little bit give and take, and sometimes we take too much.
Okay, well, listen, thank you very much for taking time out and speaking today. Good luck for the rest of the future. Have you got any races coming up?
I'm off to the Lakesman for a half-distance race in just under 2 weeks, and then it's all systems go towards aiming for the double again in September.
Good. Well, hopefully the weather's kind to you this time. all the preparation that you've done so far will hopefully pay off.
No, thank you.
And you get to complete. So thanks very much for coming in. And girls, thanks very much for allowing your dad to come in this afternoon and spend a bit of time talking about something he's very passionate about. So, yeah, listen, you're listening to Phoenix FM. That was the triathlon half-hour chat that we played out today. So back to the music. We've got a track from Genesis, and we'll be back.